they claim they want eyes, but just to be created a slight different from what they are, when we talk, we see things are.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Two bonus episodes in 2 weeks. It's madness.
Just a little mad.
If you've got a story you'd like to share with us, you can email us strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to continue my interview with Tara. In part two, we talk about some Ouija weirdness. We did another episode a while back where someone talked about this group of friends and the Ouija board and how they got involved in this sort of spirit contact, and Tara's story is not dissimilar to theirs. And she tells of some missing time experiences and some rather odd collection of these nighttime invaders that everyone reports. Tara has those. Before we talk to Tara, I want to remind everybody that 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy is the place you go if you have a puppy and you need help with your puppy. Your puppy's being a problem puppy. Do you have a problem puppy?
You don't count.
If you have a problem puppy, or if you know someone with a problem puppy.
I would wager that maybe it isn't the problem puppy. Maybe you're the problem.
Absolutely could be the case.
Because what you're trying to build is a relationship.
Exactly.
It takes work.
It does. It does. 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can help you build that relationship. They can help you and your puppy become perfect for each other. Because you're right, it's really not about changing the puppy necessarily. It's about developing the relationship between you and your puppy so you become perfect for each other. They have online sources. They have video lessons. They have a secret Facebook group. One-on-one options are also available where you can talk to Tina or her staff. You can find 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy at sidhappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can teach you what to do, and perhaps more importantly, they can teach you what not to do. Check them out at sidhappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. All right, let's get to the second part of my interview with Tara. All right, and I think this is the stuff that gets you a little more weirded out, talking about the occult stuff.
Yeah, because I don't fully understand what happened. And so it weirds me out a little bit more, because I'm never going to have answers.
Mm-hmm.
So late teenage years, I suppose, like 17-ish, my friends and I decided, like, you know, like you do, like you start playing with Ouija boards and all that kind of stuff. So I never would touch the board because I had enough like fear of it to not want to actually be actively involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be in the room and be like, ask it this, but not, you know, because that somehow puts a barrier between you and whatever,
right?
But I would never like actively get involved with it. So we just kind of started doing that kind of stuff, and it was like, you know, no big deals, classic girl stuff, like, am I going to meet a boy? And stupid, you know, typical stuff like that. So that's kind of how it started. And then it was weird because it would, like, give us answers. And it would always be off within, like, 2 days. Like, it would say, you're going to meet so-and-so on this day. And it would be, like, 2 days off. Or this person will be this age, but it would be 2 years off. So, I mean, that's probably an arbitrary detail, but it was accurate enough to where we're like, oh, it's giving us information and it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I do remember I asked, one of the questions was, what am I going to be when I grow up? And it said I was going to be in a band. Oh, and wow. I'm like, that literally was not even on my radar at that point. Like, wouldn't have been, it just wasn't a goal in life. And I can remember asking the name of the band, and it spelled something out that didn't make sense at the time. And I wish I knew exactly what it was. I'm like, because it could have been Lycia, because that word would not have made sense to me at 17, right? Like, it just wouldn't look like a real word. Huh. So that's kind of funny. So that's kind of how we sort of tiptoed into the occult, I guess. And then around that time, we started, like, going out to clubs and stuff like that and, like, meeting people from, like, I lived in rural Ohio, so we lived, like, in Mantua, Ohio, which is close to Kent State, which is where all the cool kids were. And Akron wasn't that far. Cleveland wasn't that far. We were sort of centrally located between Akron, Youngstown, and Cleveland, with Kent State being, like, very close and where we all hung out. And so you start meeting people from other places, and that's how I got introduced to cool music and, you know, the whole thing. So when I met my boyfriend at the time, 2 days after I was told I would, we started hanging out with his group of friends and stuff, and like more, they were kind of more into like, I guess, darker kind of stuff, like as far as like heavier music and like, you know, we were listening to The Cure and they were listening to like Christian death. So it kind of like was the evolution from mainstream music to like more underground stuff and like thus kind of lifestyle stuff as well, because we were all sort of innocent and like didn't drink, didn't do any of that stuff. And the people that we were meeting were doing like heavier drugs and, you know, whatever. So I just remember hanging out and like we were at this party and they're like, oh, we should like channel spirits. And I'm like, what? Like, okay. Again, I don't get actively involved in anything because I have enough superstitious quality in me to know not to mess with stuff, but would be in the room when they would do this. And like, it seemed so like innocent in a way, and like, but, and I was constantly trying to figure out, is this real or are they messing with us? But I knew the people well enough to know that they weren't messing with us, and like some of the details that we would get would be like they wouldn't be able to do that, like the spirit or whatever. And this is where I'm not going to name names, because we talked to the same ones kind of all the time. And then occasionally a new one would come in, but we mostly talked to the same group. And several of my friends did this, and one of them was my absolute best friend, so I knew she wasn't lying to me, because you could see like the change in their demeanor, the way their eyes looked, the way they spoke. Everything was different. It wasn't like your goofy friend. It was like there was a noticeable change to it. And, you know, again, they would tell you things, and then like one night you would be talking to a spirit and then they would say, go look at the pad of paper by your phone. And then you'd get up and go look, and like halfway down the stack of paper, it would say like, hi. And so you think, okay, because I try to like logically think things out. I'm like, okay, well, maybe my friend wrote that there and like they're just fooling with me. But I'm like, but the way the timeline was, it didn't make, like, that couldn't have happened. Or like you'd get out of the shower and like in the steam on the mirror, it would say like, hi. Just things like that. And so we got involved with these various entities, I suppose. Nice way of putting it, I guess. And I still don't know, like, are they good? Are they bad? That's the part that kind of weirds me out, because I don't know.
Right.
And because on the surface it seemed fine, but then you get into the whole spirituality of things where, you know, spirits can be malevolent, but appear as good. Like, you just don't know. Because anything that sort of, like, from a, like, a Christian standpoint, anything that separates you from God can't be good. So anyway, so all of that was kind of happening. And at the same time, like, we were, like, you know, doing the other stuff, like tarot cards and pendulum. And the only thing I ever really actively participated in was doing automatic writing. And I wish I had the papers now, because I used to just write and write and write and write and write. And it would be like these full stories of whatever spirit telling stories of where they were, who they were, like all of the stuff. And it would be like in chicken scratch writing, but you could read it. Because I even remember showing like my friend's mom, and she was completely fascinated by it. But I mean, I didn't save any of this stuff. And like, it's been so long now at this point that I can't remember any of the specific details about what that or whatever. But also at the same time, when all of that was going on, I started having these things where like I would wake up and see somebody in my room. And the first time it happened to me, like, and this is going to sound like a strange whatever, but I was reading that book that Nancy Spungen's mother wrote about, you know, Sid and Nancy or whatever. And so I was sleeping and I woke up, and even the lights were on in my room at the time. And I remember looking, just, you know how you're just, you're sound asleep and your eyes just pop open? Oh, and you're not startled, your eyes just pop open. And above the bed, she, like her, like it looked like Nancy Spungen. What, you know, it could have been just a blonde lady, but in my brain, that's who I interpreted it as, because I was reading that book, was just floating above the bed in this like white gown, like it was blowing in the wind, you know. And she's just above the bed looking at me. And then your brain goes, oh, wait, that's not supposed to be there. And then it completely freaked out and jumped up off the bed. And, of course, they disappear as soon as that happens.
Right. Was she, like, parallel to you?
Yeah.
Just so just kind of, like, floating in the air? Just
like above this, like, right below the ceiling. Above me.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, that was totally Nancy Spungen. Like, it looked like her. And, you know, your brain can your brain can conjure this stuff. And this is why I kind of am like, I don't know what to believe. It's just a dream. Is it just your brain making things up? Is it real? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but it did happen to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the things, the ideas I've been playing with lately. It's the possibility that, using video game terminology, that we skin these things in different ways. And maybe whatever that was, you know, you skinned it as Nancy Spungen because you were, you know, deep into the book or whatever at the time.
Right.
And, you know, who knows? I mean, that's, it's just an idea I'm playing with.
Right. And, I mean, it makes as much sense as anything else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I, all of this is speculation. I'm very, very interested in the messages from the spirits. And when you talk about them being, you know, sometimes accurate, sometimes not, pretty close to accurate, accurate enough where it got your attention.
Right. But
that is consistent with spirit contact. And it, that often freaks me out a little bit.
See, that's why it freaks me out, because I'm like, I was talking to somebody.
And it's, you're left with this question of how are they getting the good information? And are they giving the information to the best of their knowledge and just getting it wrong sometimes, in which case, innocent mistake, fine. Or are they doing that on purpose? And we can't know that.
Yeah, and it's also like, I guess because, I mean, this story evolves to later when I became a Christian. I'm like, is it just all demonic? And I don't know the answer. You know what I mean? And so that's why I kind of am like, I leave certain things alone.
Yeah. I think people get very, you know, I have some friends who are very overconfident, I'll say, who are, you know, occultists, and they're very overconfident in their dealings with these spirits. And I'm just thinking, man, it's I just see it really as playing with fire, you know, because they are capricious.
Well, and I kind of feel like we're human beings, tangible human beings. And if it's a spirit, they're infinite. Why would an infinite thing feel the need to follow your rules and guidelines? Like, they wouldn't need to. Mm-hmm. And if they're doing something for you, why are they doing it for you? They're right. getting something out of it. If you want to go the like nice route, it's like, oh, well, they're just communicating with you because they are trying to be helpful. If you're going the malevolent route, they're doing it to keep you separated from God. So,
right, or whatever other like agenda they have, which again is unknowable. Like that's and that's the part that kind of gives me pause with this stuff. It's like, well, why?
That's kind of why I just kind of quit. Like anything like actively supernatural, I just don't take part in it because I don't understand it. And it could be nothing, it could be something, but I don't know what it is. And so I don't personally believe human beings can like know all the answers and control any supernatural being. So I just am like, you guys, hey, bro, you stay over on your side of the room. I'll stay over here and like be safe over here. But and that whole time in my life was very strange because I was very like young and naive, very like younger than my age. You know, like I said, none of my friends and stuff, none of us drank, none of us smoked, none of us did any of this kind of stuff. And then slowly over the course of like those couple years, things got darker and darker. And it was like my personality changed. I went from like, I used to be like the kind of kid at the party that would like do the goofiest stuff just to get a laugh out of people and like total class clown, like center of attention, I'll tap dance for you to make you laugh kind of person. And then super outgoing, friendly, blah, blah, blah. Then it kind of like started devolving to where I was like the mean looking chick across the room, glaring across the room at you, not even realizing I was doing it. Like I used to have people be like, I thought you hated me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, no. And it just like, I felt like my personality definitely did a shift. Like sometimes I would be really angry and pissed off and like mean. And in my head, as I'm doing it, I'm like, what is your problem? Like, why are you acting like this? Like, you're being such a bitch. Like, why are you acting this way? But I still did it anyway. Like, I couldn't control being this, like, dark, mean person. And I didn't put any thought into it at the time other than, like, God, what a bitch you are, you know? Hmm. And it was very noticeable. And at the time... I lost a lot of friends, like those same people that sort of we were doing all these things together. I mean, there's more to it. Nobody needs to know my post high school drama, but it was all kind of interconnected. And like towards the end of one of the friendships and the one girl who used to like channel these spirits and some of which I talked to through her a lot, I suspected that she was faking it sometimes, but not all the times. Like you could tell, I could tell the difference between the way she looked when she was doing it and when she wasn't.
Interesting.
And this one night, like I felt like I caught her being sneaky about it. And so I came home after dropping her off and I had this Ouija board that we always used, which was just homemade. Literally, it was a box lid that we wrote the alphabet on, the numbers, you know, wrote it on a piece of cardboard, and I would use a ring as the planchette. That's what we did. And I had to have my answers. Like, I had to know what was going on. And so I'm asking the Ouija board, like, is she lying to me? And it said yes. And then after it answered my question and it told me who it was, and this was the sweeter of the spirits that we used to talk to, like, very sweet and, like, innocent kind of spirit or whatever. And then it made me promise to never touch the Ouija board again.
Really?
Yeah. And I know this sounds crazy. Like, I know this sounds crazy.
Yes, it's also strange familiars. It's okay.
But this was the first and only time I ever actually touched the Ouija board. Never had done it before. But I needed to have answers. And I thought the only way I could get an honest answer was to talk to the spirits, right?
Wow.
Like I said, it, like, spelled out, please don't ever do this again.
Wow.
And I never did it again after I promised them, and I never did it again. But, like, the whole time, like, I mean, there was a lot going on during that time. Like, just electricity issues in my room. My room was always, like, way colder than the rest of the house. There were times when I would, like, wake up with scratch marks all over. I remember one specific time, this friend of mine was staying with me at the time, and, like, we would stay up, like, all night, and we didn't go to bed until, like, the sun came up. And this one night, or this, well, it was morning, I went and I was laying in the bed, and I had my back, like, I was facing the wall, so my back was towards the room, and I felt the bed go down just like he came in, and I rolled over expecting him to be there, and there was, like, nobody there. So, like, stuff like that would happen. Just all the time. Like, it happened all the time. And, like, I think I even told you, like, the one time we were driving and we're driving down the road, and my boyfriend at the time lived, like, an hour away. And so every night we would drive to his house and then come back, and it would always be, like, late. And there was this one stretch of highway this one particular night, and we were just there. Like, we don't even remember, couldn't remember how we'd even gotten that far in the drive. We didn't remember any of the prior traveling of it. Oh, and wow. My one friend was asleep, and the other one was in the front seat, or in the passenger seat beside me. And this black, like, big, huge black cloth, like, we jokingly called it, like, a vampire or whatever, swooped down at the car and then swooped away. And I'm like, I mean, could it have been, like, an owl or whatever? 100%, obviously. But it was just a weird thing, because that happened, and it was enough of a weirdness for both of us to be like, that was weird. Like, you know, it wasn't like a bird or something. It was definitely weird. And plus, at the same time, we were like, did we both fall asleep? Like, I don't remember getting to this point. Like, were we both sleeping and driving? Like, it was a weird thing.
Yeah.
And she reminded me the other day, because I was asking her about this, because I knew I was going to come onto your podcast, and I'm like, hey, do you remember when that happened? She's like, yeah. She's like, do you remember the time when all of a sudden we were just parked in someone's driveway? And I'm like, actually, no, I don't remember that.
Wow.
But, yeah, so, like, stuff like that happened. Like, she's like, yeah, she's like, one time we were just driving and all of a sudden we were in someone's driveway and none of us remembered how we got there. And I'm like, you know, it's crazy when so much weird stuff happened that you forgot that. Like, that's kind of a big story. That was a weird time period. Like, a lot of weird stuff happened. And like I said, I just kind of became this different person. And of course, that changes at some point, which, you know, the story goes on from there.
In what sense?
So after the Ouija board thing happened, where it's like, don't ever do this again, the following night, I picked up my friend. We all went and hung out like normal. And then on my way home to drop her off, as we got to her house, I was like, by the way, I know you've been lying to me, so just don't ever talk to me again.
Oh.
And I quit talking to her at that point. And this girl had been my best friend since years, you know. But I was just like, if you're going to lie to me about that, like, we're done. Because it was a deep thing. Like, we had these relationships with these spirits. And I don't mean relationships like,
you know,
high school girlfriend, boyfriend thing.
Right.
But it was too real for me to like take it lightly that somebody would lie to me about it after all of this stuff. So like, yeah, I just cut her off and that was it. And I'd already cut the other people off because whole other drama. So I was kind of like sort of on my own for a while. And I had a couple other friends that weren't really connected to them. So I just kind of hung out with them instead. And they were more musicians. So I was just like hanging out with musicians at that point and kind of had a band or whatever. So then I was going to cosmetology school, switching subjects slightly, but it's a continuation sort of this story. I started going to cosmetology school. And at that time in rural Ohio, when you were like, and I'm sure you know this from where you grew up too, like being like a hardcore like punk goth or whatever, people were not very nice to you.
No, they were not. I had bottles thrown at me on a regular basis.
Yeah, my life was threatened a lot. It sounds ludicrous now because like everybody's got piercings and pink hair and whatever.
Right, but, yeah,
like,
you go to the store to check out and, you know, the person at the
cash register. There's like a granny with like bright pink hair. Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
But at that time, for whatever reason, it really angered people.
It did.
Yeah, they were really mad about it. And so, I mean, that was like a normal part of life at the time that you just walked everywhere and you had your guard up because people, and the cops did it, like cops just picked on and like threatened and whatever. And so I started going to cosmetology school, and it was me and my friend who I mentioned earlier that was staying with me at the time. And so we were like hardcore, like goth, punk, whatever, and definitely did not fit in. But everybody there was totally cool. Like it was, you know, everyone at cosmetology school was cool. And I remember just kind of hanging out, and this girl that was going to school there was just this normal chick, and like I think her favorite band was like Skid Row. I think that was her favorite band. So she was like into metal, but she looked normal, you know. And she started saying stuff like, oh, like this one day, you know, we chilled because she was just a cool chick. And this one day she's like, can I talk to you for a second? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, here we go. And she's like, God has something to tell you. And I'm like, okay, I'm not a Satanist. I know I look weird. I'm not. And she's like, no. God just has something to tell you. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, he just said he's got something better for you. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And went about my business, and she never said anything about it again. I'm just like, okay, I'm so used to people accusing me of being a Satanist at this point that she's like, no, I'm not saying that. But I'm like, whatever, you know. That was just, I'm sure you probably got that too.
Oh, yeah.
If you were a Satanist, you were a druggie, you were a slut, whatever.
Yeah, I got called a slut a lot.
Well, you were.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but that was just the common thing. You were like a drug addict, you're right. A witch, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I just was like, whatever. And then a couple weeks later, she was just like, oh, yeah, do you want to come to my pastor's house? And I'm like, sure. Because, at the time, I was like super open to everything. I had I didn't judge people for their beliefs. I was whatever. You are who you are. I am who I am. It's all good. And she's like, yeah, come with me. So me and like my two friends that I hung out with that I was in a band with, they were going to come with me too. We're like, okay, this is cool. Because I wasn't like anti-religion or any, like she could have been like anything. And I would have been like, sure, I'll come chill, whatever.
Right.
And so the closer we get to this guy's house, the more anxious I start getting. And at that time, I was like pretty fearless. Like I didn't get anxious going anywhere, doing anything or anything like that. So I was like, okay, this is weird. Like I just felt sick and like, don't go. You should just not go. And you know, like I told you earlier, like I had been to church when I was a kid. So it wasn't like I had any like anti-church thing at all. It was just like, whatever. And so the closer we get to this guy's house, I'm like more and more anxious and like sick and sick and sick. And so we get there and it's just her and then my two friends and the pastor and his wife, and like they're like African American. And the thing that struck me was that they didn't even bat an eyelash that we looked crazy, you know, with like goffed out and all this stuff. And
right.
That was a remarkable thing at the time because everybody thought you were crazy and nobody wanted any part of you at the time. So that I was just like, okay, this is all right. You know, they're nice, whatever. And we just went into the house and we just sat there. And he like talked a little bit about Bible stuff. I don't even remember what he talked about, but I was like anxious the entire time and nobody was like weird or like anything strange or anything like that. But I just felt sick. Like I wanted to like claw my skin off. So we're getting ready to leave or whatever. And he's like, oh, do you guys mind if I just say a prayer for you? And I'm like, sure, whatever. I'm hip to it. You know, whatever. I'm not going to turn down nice things from people.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So he just said this like real basic prayer thing. And he was just like, you've got some choices to make. I'm like, okay, whatever. See you later. And that sort of like started my whole thing of like, I guess the dark stuff was kind of like stirring up. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. It was very, very strange because it was out of character to feel that upset about something.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. I don't know. It's very strange. After that is when I started getting like bad anxiety, which I've never had before, and stuff like that. I mean, I don't need to go into the whole story, I don't suppose, but it was a strange time, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did you connect your initial anxiousness or resistance to the like the previous spirit contact and all that?
I felt like it had to be somewhat connected because there was no logical reason for me to be upset to be there. They were nice people. My friend from cosmetology school was totally chill. I had no aversion to Christianity. It's not like I was anti it or anything. I really didn't have an opinion of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed completely out of left field and illogical that I felt how I felt. And then, probably a couple weeks later, he invited me and my friend from cosmetology school to go with him down to Columbus. He was going to do some sort of church thing at this little church down there. It was just supposed to be like, I think it was like a kind of a housewarming thing for this church, like he was helping. And it seems odd that I would go, okay, sure, I'll go with you. Because it's like, why would I be going to some church thing? But by the same token, I wasn't like repelled by the idea. So I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get down to Columbus. And again, I'm completely fully decked out goth. Because, of course, you can't go anywhere and not be decked out goth when you're living the dream, right?
You gotta fly the freak flag, yeah.
Yeah, of course. It doesn't matter where you're going, you still gotta do it.
I had a friend, and this is like well into our 20s, if not 30s, who, he's a very, very fancy fella, and, you know, leather pants and, you know, the very, very nice hairstyle and all this.
Yeah.
And at some point, like, he's, like, doing his hair. We were touring together, and he's doing his hair at our house to, like, I don't know, we were like going to get fast food or something.
Right, right.
And I'm like, what, like, is this like normal for you? And he told me, and this is like an adult dude, like I said, 20s, if not late 20s, if not in our 30s at this point. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, if I'm sick, if I stay home from work and I'm sick, he's like, I won't go to the drugstore without getting like, you know, the full compliment. He's like, I'm like, wow, not me, not anymore.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, exactly. I ain't got time for that.
But, you know, in like 1992, you had to represent.
It's true. Yeah, you really did.
So we drive the 2 hours or whatever to Columbus, and we show up at this church, and there's nobody there. It's like this little African-American like Baptist church or something. And like nobody showed up to it. It was supposed to be like an open house thing where like the church members were supposed to come. And like, I don't even know. It was like, I was just going along for the ride. I didn't really care. But like the only people that showed up were like these little old ladies. There was like, I think 4 of them who helped like do things in the church. And they were the only people that showed up. And I'm like, this is weird, whatever. Didn't really think anything of it because I'm just along for the ride. I don't even know what's going on. I'm just there hanging out with my friend. But again, that like sick feeling started happening. And I was like a nervous wreck. And the whole time I'm trying to rationalize this in my head. Like, why are you nervous right now? Literally nothing is going on. You're sitting in a chair while other people are talking, and they're not even talking about anything of relevance. It's like, hey, how are you today? I'm good. What'd you do today? You know, like basic, nothing deep, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there, and my friend from cosmetology school sitting beside of me, and she's like, are you all right? I'm like, I don't know. I'm really nervous. And like at the time, because I was in cosmetology school, I had these really long nails because we did nails on each other all the time. And I was like literally digging the skin off my arm, like scratching my arm so hard that it was like bleeding for no reason. And I'm like, I don't feel good. And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't know. And then she's like, okay, well, just try to relax or whatever. So I'm sitting there just trying to chill. And these little old ladies are talking. And finally, the one lady says to me, so what about you? What's your story? You know, wanting to know who this woman is, that or girl or whatever, that came along for the ride. And I couldn't talk. Like, no voice would come out. I couldn't speak. I just was, like, staring at her, like, mute. And the pastor who I came with was like, oh, she's just making choices. She's trying to decide some things. And I'm like, what? First of all, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. But she's like, oh, okay. And then I was like, I decided. Like, I don't even know where this stuff was coming from. And so after I said that, they prayed for me. And I guess it's like, you know, you do the sinner's prayer or whatever. Like, I didn't go there for that purpose, and it wasn't like a thing in my head that I was actively seeking or looking for or whatever. It just kind of happened. And then after that happened, it was like I felt this burden come off of me, and it was like I was a different person. And could it all be mental? Sure. Could it be all in my head? I mean, I guess that's mental, but possibly. But I know what happened, and I know who I was before, and I know who I am after. So to me, it was a very real experience. And you can ask the people that were around me at the time, the difference between the girl that was staring at people across the room thinking that I hated them, to the person afterwards who didn't look like that anymore. Mm-hmm. So after that experience, things got really worse. Like, I would wake up and have welts all over my body, and that's when I started having like really bad panic attacks and like all of this kind of stuff. And like, the pastor was like, well, that's going to happen to you because of the connections that you have to that other stuff. Again, is it all in my head? Maybe, although I don't know how to make welts appear on my body.
Right.
Or, you know, I can't make electricity turn off and on and, and stuff like that. So I don't know. I know what I experienced, and I don't try to explain it to people and make them believe me. It is what it is. I know what I went through. So that's kind of the end of that chapter of things that started with the doing the Ouija board
right
to there.
And I mean, I know the answer to this, but just to be clear, you felt better post these meetings with this pastor.
For sure. Like I said, the first, I mean, internally I felt like a different person. Mm-hmm. Like all this sort of darkness that I couldn't control before. Like when I said, you know, I would be mean to somebody, and in my head I'm going, why are you acting this way?
Right, yeah.
But couldn't stop me from doing it anyways. That was all gone. I was definitely a different person. But I still had like physical things going on for a while. I would say probably a couple months. And then finally, I guess they, quote unquote, gave up because it wasn't working, I guess. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
Right. I do like the way you describe it, though, because you sound like me, like talking about my thing with Mary, where I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe it's real. Right. Maybe it's not. I don't like I'm not going to convince you. So whatever. Exactly. But this is my thing, you know.
I kind of feel like I know what I experienced is real, and I would never turn my back on that.
Mm-hmm.
But to convince somebody who doesn't believe in that kind of stuff anyways, they're just going to say, oh, it's just it was all in your head. It's like, yeah, right. But you didn't feel me clawing my, like, I was clawing my skin off. And I wasn't doing it because I was nervous. Like, it was far beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I've never experienced anything like that since. And I have anxiety. Anxiety started then, and I still have it now that comes back every once in a while, but it doesn't cause me to claw my skin off. So I don't, you know, what it is, I don't know. But that's one of the reasons why I'm like, I tread real lightly around supernatural stuff, because, you know, like they say, like if you crack open the door,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know.
Well, it's
too much creepy stuff.
It sounds like I'm being hypocritical. But, you know, this is my job now, right? So it's like, literally it's my job. And I'm pretty careful about it. But people often ask me, like, well, what's your advice to other people who want to do this? I'm like, well, don't. And some people aren't going to be satisfied. Some people, they need to experience it for themselves. And I'll be a hypocrite, definitely, if I told them not to do it. But I mean, if you're the kind of person who can listen to stories or read books or watch shows on this stuff, and that's enough for you.
Right.
You're probably going to be happier stopping there. Because, A, yeah. there's no answers. Like, there isn't. You have to... I mean, very quickly. Like, I mean, I thought I was going to, like, just taking Bigfoot as an example. When I first, like, seriously started getting into this and started, like, writing books and stuff, I thought, like, I'll figure this out. And then very quickly you have to come to terms. Like, no, I don't get to figure this out. It's not this.
And it's such human arrogance to think that you could get the answers, really. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I mean... I don't have a lot of confidence that whatever happens when we die, you know, there might just be more questions there, which is
right. I think some of them will be answered.
I hope they're all answered. I mean, I hope, like, bing, we get all the answers. You know, there you go. That would be lovely. But I'm preparing myself for there to be more questions. Because again, it's a matter of, you know, I think with Terrence McKenna, and I know this only via Josh, my co-author in the books, it's like, sit with the mystery. You have to be able to sit with the mystery, yeah. And just go, am I still interested? Yes. Is it still something, you know, I want to write about and explore and so forth? But if you're not willing to do that, forget it, because there's no answers.
And I think that some people, like, will never experience anything because they have to have all the answers. And so when something weird happens to them, they don't acknowledge it because it doesn't fit in the right box or something.
Right.
And because they need to have like an explanation for everything, and some things just don't have an explanation. And that's why like the whole like religion thing, like people are like, yeah, but what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about this? And to me, I'm just like, I don't need to know that answer. I know what my experience is. And so I don't need to know like, well, why did this happen if God exists? Like, I don't know. I don't know the mind of God. I don't know. Yeah, I can't tell you that answer. But I know that I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater just because I don't have the answer to X, Y, Z.
It's above our pay grade to know this.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I don't have to know it. And I don't have to, like, defend my belief system or justify it or whatever. It is what it is. That's why a lot of people don't talk about their stuff, because it's so pathetic. It's like about everything. Like if you like DC better than Marvel or the other way around, the other person is going to convince you why what you like is dumb and why their thing's cool. And it's how much more irritating is it with your personal beliefs when you say you've experienced something and the person's like, well, that's stupid. And this is why, because that's this and this and this. And I'm like, I don't want to go there with you. Like, you just be who you are. I'll be who I am. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It makes sense to me.
Did you use a comic book analogy there just for me?
I did. Well, I mean, yes and no.
I'm touched. I'm very, very touched.
But yeah, because that's one of my main irritants is the DC versus Marvel people. That just irritates me. But
well,
like, we can like it all. We don't have to make lines in the sand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, I think people want to do that for some reason. I don't know why. It is about human nature where it's like,
I don't even like to make public statements about stuff I like anymore, because there's always going to be that person going, yeah, but it's dumb because of this.
Yeah.
Or it's better because of this. And I'm like, why did you have to like wreck my parade?
Right. Yeah.
I was having like a happy moment and you just wrecked it. But
yeah. Didn't you know that the guy who wrote that, you know, said something on Twitter 10 years ago that's,
right.
You know, now you can't like it anymore. Like,
right. Like, just leave me alone. Yeah. Let me like what I like.
Exactly.
But so it's even worse when it's something that's so personal to you.
Right. Right.
It's not fun.
Like I said, I think, you know, the way you describe it is, it feels right to me because, like I said, it seems like the way I describe things. Like, hey, you can believe this or not. You know,
right.
This is my experience. But, you know, if it's not your experience, I'm not going to argue with you, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I can't explain how physically I felt or even a tenth of really all the stuff that happened. Because for one thing, it was a long time ago. And you know, if you knew then what you know now, I would have been cataloging things and writing dreams down and, mm-hmm. you know, keeping track on today on this date, this weird thing happened and, you know, and how it correlated to the other weird things that were happening. But of course you don't do that when you're ever really, and especially not when you're like a teenager and you're more concerned with like cute boys or whatever. So I wish I had all that stuff now, but you know, after the whole situation that happened where I got, you know, saved or whatever you want to call it, I got rid of anything that was related to that stuff because I felt like that is a door that definitely has to close for me. And so like all the papers that I had written and like anything that was associated with any of that, I got rid of it. And I didn't like mentally even look at it like in my head for a long, long time. And then like a few years ago, I'm like, I really wish I had answers. Like, who was I talking to? Was it the people that they said they were? Or was it something pretending to be something else? Like, were some of them good, some of them bad? Was, you know, I'll never have the answers to these questions.
Right.
And I've tried asking like a couple of my friends, but like, because I have since become friends with all those people again. Once I was like clear of it, I gave up on, like, I didn't hold any grudges against anybody, blah, blah, blah. And, like, we're all friends again. But, like, Of course, they don't remember stuff because it was so long ago either. But like, I'll ask them questions, and sometimes they'll say like, "Oh, I don't remember anymore." Or they'll say, "Yeah, I do remember that. That was weird," or whatever. But you know, it's been so long ago that we don't. And the questions that I really want to ask, I like won't ask because I don't want to stir up any weirdness. So with them on a personal level. So. Mm. But yeah, just, you know, a lot of odd stuff. And then, you know, post that era, the only real kind of weird stuff I've had past that was I've had some more things happen where, like I did with the quote-unquote Nancy Spungen, where I'll wake up and there will be something or somebody in the room. Right. That's happened to me quite a few times, actually. Or like, have you ever had this thing where you're sound asleep and you feel your arm fling off the bed, or your like leg fling off the bed?
No, but I've heard enough stories of it.
Yeah, that's happened to me a few times. And like one time I felt somebody put their finger on the center of my forehead.
Wow.
And then I woke up and like in my brain was a large man with black hair run out of the room. That's kind of the only stuff. Like, I haven't had any, like, of the real...
Do you remember any details about this man?
I just remember him being tall and long black hair and getting a perception that he was somebody that I knew that's dead.
Hmm. Interesting. So no flannel shirt. That's what I was...
No, he
for.
Was not wearing a flannel shirt.
Rats.
That I'm aware of.
So, yeah, you have these notes. So we call these, like, nighttime invaders or bedroom invaders. Bedroom invaders sounds kind of perverted, so I tend to say nighttime invaders.
Yeah.
These characters, like, these things people see. Like, so, yeah. Like you said, one of them is a giant spider.
Yeah, I've seen a giant spider, and it was crawling up the wall, and I've seen, like, a...
Like, how big? How big?
Oh, gosh, probably, like, 2 feet big?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. And then I've also, a couple times I've seen, like, an amorphous ball. And, like, one time it was probably about the size of, I'd say probably a basketball. And then the other size, like, maybe a little bit bigger than a softball. But the absolute scariest one was the one that looked like Predator. And I think you told me that other people have seen that, or I heard it on your show or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, you actually saw, like you said, it looked like the thing from the movie. Like, not so people see the blurry thing. You didn't see, you actually saw, like, not the blurry thing, right? Like,
yeah, like, it didn't, it definitely was there. Like, It had, like, the long sort of dread-looking hair and was standing at the foot of the bed. I don't think it had, like, the mandibles and stuff on the face, though.
So do you scream when this happens?
Yeah, I definitely scream. Okay. I was sound asleep and my eyes popped open, and he was standing at the foot of the bed by my feet. And my brain is looking at it and then goes, oh, wait, you're not supposed to be there. And I started kicking and, like, screaming and, like, hitting Mike, yeah. And he's like, what the hell's going on, you know? And I'm like, yeah, there was, you know, it completely freaked out, and then it was like, oh, it must have been a dream, and of course went back to bed. But yeah, that was the other ones haven't really scared me as much as, like, okay, that's weird. But that scared me.
Yeah,
obviously.
And you saw it more than once?
No, I've only seen, thank God, yeah. I've only seen that once. I don't ever want to see that again. Like, first of all, I don't want to see any of it again because it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But that I 100% definitely do not want to see again. But he wasn't doing anything. He was just standing there.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, a lot of what people talk about. They wake up and these things are just there.
Yeah. And, like, is it just your brain dreaming or, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, like, what they call parasomnia stuff, which is, like, it's kind of part of your, like, you've woken up, but your brain is still, like,
right
in that dream
mode. But
then
it's like you're not dreaming about that thing, though.
Right, exactly.
That's kind of weird.
And there's enough weirdness associated with this stuff where you wonder, like, you know, when I get the stories of, of like, you know, it'll be a couple and one person will wake the other person up and they'll either both see it or like, ugh. Or like they'll say like, yeah, you need to deal with this or something like that.
And oh my
that,
God.
And then they'll go back to sleep and then the other person wakes up and see when stuff like that happens. It's like, well, what is this? Like people generally yeah. don't have these like, you know, shared dreams like that. I mean, if they are, that's a whole other interesting thing.
Right. You know? Well, and I have friends who have told me stories where they had shared dreams with other friends and they were provable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. That does happen. Right, but if that's,
I've never experienced it.
If that's what's happening, it's that's super interesting and, you know, may or sure. may not be paranormal. Fascinating. Yeah. Yeah. Itself.
Well, and then you, like, I'm sure you think about this too, where you're like, are we glimpsing into like an alternate dimension? Like maybe that guy was just as surprised to see me as I was to see him. Like maybe there was some like thin veil that we kind of glimpsed each other through, or
I mean, often know. That seems to, they at least look surprised that you can see them. You know, when Allison saw her flannel man and woke me up screaming, I didn't see anything. And I remember like just going, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, before I even like opened my eyes, like trying to get right. her to calm down because she was just screaming. And then considered it a bad dream until on down the line, you know, months if not years later,
I read,
you know, a bunch of other people see these things.
And, oh. Well, and dreams are fascinating anyways, because I find it completely bizarre that our brains can conjure up a place and people and things that we've never seen before. Like mm-hmm. how, and it kind of is one of those things where if you're capable of dreaming it, it must exist someplace. And are you either creating it yourself or are you tapping into this place that already exists? And like, maybe you have a life there and you know, you have a life here and you have, you know, your subconscious has all these different lives going on. And that's right. actually kind of the, what I'm writing about in the book I'm currently working on, because I think that's fascinating to think of, like, what if there's our this physical self, but then in our dream somewhere, there's a whole nother universe that we created that person has now become a physical being in that realm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of hope that's true, because I mean, who doesn't like the ultimate escapism of having dream worlds all over the place, you know?
Yeah, but if the dream me is having a better life, then I'm jealous.
Yeah, that kind of does suck. That's kind of it. Like, sometimes you have these dreams and you're like, you wake up and you're like, dang it, I just want to go back to sleep. That was so nice. But
right, yeah, can I enter back into that? And then, you know, you go back to, you know, ordering at Subway or something. It's like, come on.
Like, really? Yeah. Or you're naked in school and you forgot to study for the last 8 months and you have to take a test.
Or trying to find a bathroom. That's a big one.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Classic. Who'd want to be stuck in that dimension?
Right. In the where's the bathroom dimension?
God.
All right, Tara, now that I've gotten all your spooky stories.
There's probably more that I'm just deeply seated in my brain. I don't know.
Well, we always like to do an update show, so if you remember any, or
I'll come on anytime.
If anybody comes by and in the night.
Oh, please don't say that.
Yeah, I know. I kind of like pushed you into talking about this a little bit, so I will feel responsible if anything happens in the wake of this.
Well, now I'm like, God, I hope I don't conjure it just because, you know, you're thinking about it. I'm like, please don't come, please don't come, please don't come.
Yeah, hopefully not, hopefully not. So when's your next book, do you know?
I don't know when the next book is going to be done. Well, first of all, mine and your thing will probably be done before the next one of my thing by myself is done. I'm thinking. Hopefully. Well, I don't know. It depends on how long you take.
Yeah, the illustrations can be... Sometimes I'm super quick, and then other times not as quick.
So I don't know. I guess I don't know. I have a couple other things going on that I don't think I'm allowed to talk about yet.
Mm-hmm.
But... that might be coming out sooner than that, but I don't have any timelines, basically.
Well, where can people find your stuff?
You can find me on Amazon if you just search Tara Van Flower. It will come up. My music, and I think my music's still on Amazon, I assume.
Yeah.
And the books. I have an author page on there.
Yeah, that's, and you can follow that on Amazon.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook.
Right on. And then, so Lycia is making more, there will be more Lycia music.
There is definitely more Lycia music, and we just started talking to a label about it a couple days ago, but I can't, you know, I don't know enough detail. Well, I know details, but I can't really say anything.
Yeah, well, that's, I never want to, I'm almost like superstitious about giving too many details about something before it's ready.
And plus, we're kind of like, we're still, like, we're recording some other stuff too, so I'm not sure what the final product will be, if it'll be like a single or more or less, or it all falls through, or, you know how it goes.
Do you guys have a Bandcamp page?
Yeah, you can look like see up on Bandcamp, and I think a lot of the stuff we have for like Name Your Own Price.
Nice.
And I don't have a, I should probably get a Bandcamp page for my stuff, huh?
You probably should.
You could just find me for free on YouTube because somebody's uploaded it somewhere.
Aw.
You know how that goes.
I do know how that goes. Well, Tara, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
I know. I'm so glad to get to talk to you. It's fun.
Yeah, and well, maybe we'll make it a regular thing and bother people in another format.
That would, I definitely am down for that, for sure.
All righty. Thank you once again.
We had a photo of the week last episode, so there's no new photo this episode since it's the second episode of the week. I do want to mention Tara has her own podcast called Stuff and Things, where she talks to just about anybody she finds interesting about anything they want to talk about.
About stuff and things?
It's about stuff and things. You can find that on YouTube, or she is on Red Circle, like Strange Familiars. So you can find her most places you find podcasts. And I will put those links in the show notes. So you can find Tara's various projects and books and her music and her podcast, Stuff and Things. As I said last episode, your books, if you pre-ordered Where the Footprints End, Volume 2 from us, they should have shipped. If you want to purchase any of my books, they're all in stock now, or original artwork, or Strange Familiars t-shirts, or all kinds of stuff, you can go to our Etsy shop. It's shop name Lost Grave. If you go to Etsy, just type in Lost Grave, one word will come up, or you can type in Strange Familiars and we should come up. You should start seeing our stuff. While you're there, check out Chad's shop, Ruck Rabbit Outdoors. Check out our friends at Karmic Garden with their Flannel Man and Strange Familiar scents. And before we go, I do want to thank our patrons, without whom we could not do the show. So thank you so much, patrons. If you'd like to help us continue to make Strange Familiars and get extra content, the best way to help is to become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Check out all the different levels of support there. There are monthly options. There are yearly options as far as the subscriptions. And many, many different levels, starting at bonus content and going up to original artwork. Everything in between. Lots of different options there. Again, check it out, patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If you want to make a one-time donation to help us out, go to the show notes under any episode. Look for a paypal.me link. You can click on that and make a one-time donation. Everyone can help by sharing the show on social media, by liking and subscribing wherever you're listening, whether it's on a podcatcher or YouTube, and leaving us those nice 5-star reviews, which helps get the show in front of new potential listeners. Well, that's it. 4 shows in 2 weeks. Doing our best to keep the content coming. We'll have a patron show coming for our patrons.
Sometime probably in the next week. It would have to be. We're almost at the end of the month.
Yeah, sometime soon. So we'll get that done for you guys. Lots of content this month. Remember, you can always find us at strangefamiliars.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon with another episode. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Music, books, art, podcasts, and more. darkhollerarts.com. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. Go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com for more. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. And we're on Instagram, @strangefamiliars. Thank you.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save.